May I be with my gods. You know, at least say a little prayer before going to bed. These are rituals that will guarantee you mental health and peace.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dimple Jangra. I'm your podcast host and I welcome you to A Gut Story. This is a podcast, a platform where we're going to discuss healthy everything. A healthy body, healthy mind, healthy emotion, healthy energetics, and a healthy spiritual journey. We're going to also discuss stories of courage, grit, confidence, discipline, and patience that helped several people overcome tragic events in their life and physical trauma. And we're also going to learn from several natural sciences like Ayurveda, naturopathy, homeopathy, yoga, on how to reset our body back to good health and bring ourselves back closer to nature. Welcome to A Gut Story with yours truly, Dr. Dimple.
You know, routines and the importance of routines for adults and children.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about the dinacharya?
Yeah. So you know the word for it because you've done the Ayurveda masterclass and rituals, as you know, has become a very common topic of interest for many authors around the world.
Yeah.
They keep talking about how you need to have rituals in place because it's great for mental health.
Yeah.
It's actually a way of disciplining your body, mind, and letting your body know when to expect what. You don't brush your teeth in the middle of the day. You brush your teeth in the morning. You go to the bathroom in the morning and empty your bowels. But if you're doing it at odd times, you will not know what to expect from your body, right? Dinacharya itself means day and rituals, daily rituals, right? It allows you to detoxify body on a daily basis and sync your body clock to the clock of Mother Nature. And I tell this to a lot of people, like, you know, first get your circadian rhythm in place. Get your body clock in place. Rise with the sun, set with the sun. Your day cannot begin at 10 in the morning and 11 in the morning. That's absolutely wrong. It has to start 45 minutes before sunrise. Like, you know, there was a time when I used to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning every single day to do my chanting. Now I wake up at 5:40 and I go for a nice leisurely swim, come back and then chant, then pray, then have my breakfast. I've had 3 hours of personal time, 3 hours of me time where I'm investing in my health. You need to invest in your body first before you expect anything out of your body. Right. You want to go skateboarding, you want to do hiking, trekking, you want to pursue your career, you know, you want to be a successful, you know, businesswoman, businessman. First, invest in your body before you expect your body to fulfill your dreams. So, get your circadian rhythm in place, number one. Number two, manifestations, gratitude exercises, chanting, meditation. These are the most, I think, underrated rituals,
right?
You know? And then you have your physical rituals like, say, a full body massage once in a while, dry brushing maybe, jal niti pot, steaming, oil pulling, gargling, you know, and tongue scraping, doing it on a daily basis. Having a bath with some warm water instead of just using cold water at all times. These are rituals that are great. And then at night, you know, before you go to bed, switch off your electronics 1 hour before going to bed. So your brain can actually switch off. And then again, do your gratitude exercises, do your manifestations. And, you know, be grateful for everything you've received through the day and call it, if it be the last night of my life, may I be with my gods. You know, at least say a little prayer before going to bed. These are rituals that will guarantee you mental health and peace.
Right.
And that is going to lead to good health of the body as well.
Right. Have you ever found defending Ayurveda with conflict with people who don't believe in it?
Oh my God. All the time. All the time. Okay. For some reason, you know, some of our content has gone viral. And, you know, I'm grateful for whatever algorithm, you know, that has worked in our favor and the love that we've received from the people. But there'll always be people who will not be happy for you. And, you know, I remember making a video on this, like, you know, the eagle, you know, rules the skies. And not all birds are going to be happy for the eagle. So the crow gets on the top of the eagle's back and starts pecking on it.
Yeah.
The eagle doesn't fight back. Okay. But the eagle is a majestic bird. It just starts flying up higher and higher up in the sky where the air is really thin. And the crow that's not habituated to this thin air or to these great heights faints and falls off.
Yeah.
So people will always attack it, okay? And sadly, Ayurveda still call us pseudoscience on Wikipedia, which is controlled by the masses. Wikipedia is not the father of science.
Yeah.
Wikipedia is managed by people like you and I. We all have the right to go on Wikipedia and edit it, right? Pharma or, you know, the modern science world, not everybody approves of Ayurveda. There are a lot of allopathy doctors who now prescribe Ayurvedic treatments to their own patients saying that go and get a detoxification done first.
Right.
Instead of just suppressing, right? So you'll always have people who don't approve of it, okay? Because Ayurveda is a science that is 5,000 years old and it cannot be commercialized, neither can it be owned by one single corporate company, which means there's no profit to make.
Yeah.
There's no profit to make from health. You can only make profit off disease, right? And if everybody's healthy at home, everybody's practicing Ayurveda at home, like you're practicing at home, you're not going to the doctors, you're not going to the hospitals, you're not buying pharmaceutical products. You're not feeding the profit coffers of other people. Yeah. You're just keeping your children healthy. So that obviously triggers a little bit of, you know, competition. I would say a lot, I would say. Envy or jealousy or, you know, let's call it pseudoscience. Let's say it has no research.
You know, everything about it takes a time and a while for people to believe it because there's no immediate result.
Mm.
Right? And so how do you convince people that it works? Or like, because it's not symptomatic treatment.
No, it's not. Ayurveda addresses the root cause of the disease. Okay. It says that you cannot have a symptomatic approach. So say if you have a cold, cough or fever and you go to a modern doctor, they'll give you a medicine for cold, cough and fever. But in Ayurveda, the doctor will check your nadi, will check your digestion, your metabolism and what you ate in the last few days. Where did you travel? You know, it's literally like an investigative science.
Yeah.
And then they'll pinpoint and find out something that you've eaten has poisoned your system and your body is now going into a fever, cold, cough, symptomatic, approach where the body's trying to expel the toxin out through fever, through cold, through cough by sweating out.
Yeah.
So you can't treat the fever and cold and cough. You have to treat the toxin or the poison that's trapped in the digestive health. You have to detoxify the body, right? Okay. So because we're addressing the root cause, it might take 2-3 days longer. It's not a painkiller. It's not an antibiotic that you can take and instantly within 2 hours, you feel that there's no cold anymore. That's in fact more dangerous. Then you can't feel anything inside your body. I was under the impression that Ayurveda is slow, but I had urticaria in 2020, just before COVID, because I had some wrong combinations of food served in an ashram where I'd gone for a retreat. And I went to my allopathy doctor immediately. It was stage 2 or 3, maybe. You know, the urticaria was so bad. My face, my chest, my hands was all inflamed, turned red and black, like an acid attack victim. I'm sorry to use the word, but it looked that bad. And I rushed to my skin specialist and to my Ayurvedic doctor as a precaution. My skin specialist, who's also an Ayurvedic follower, but an allopath, sent me back to the Ayurveda clinic saying, I'm not going to give you any steroids because it's only going to make things worse. Go back and start your detoxification immediately. There's some poison in your system. And I started my Ayurvedic treatment. They gave me 6 months to recover. In 2 weeks, my skin fell off. My dead skin fell off. And I had brand new baby soft skin. In 2 weeks, I recovered, much to the surprise of my own doctors. So it's a misconception that it's slow. It's just that you need to be patient at least for the first 2 days. Address the root cause. Don't have a symptomatic, instant gratification approach. You're not going to address your disease.
Right. While you spoke of skin, I also want to talk about, I know once you told me that, Mansi, I had terrible skin as a teenager.
Yeah.
I want to talk about Ayurvedic skin care.
Oh my. Oh God. That's actually going to be our next venture also. You know, growing up, I had such terrible skin, pimples and acne every single day, bumps on the face. And I just couldn't tell why I had all of that. My mother couldn't explain. And nobody in the family understood, you know. They just thought it's like a phase, you know, you're hormonal, it's going to subside when you're 20. No, it didn't. When I was 20, I had more pimples and acne on my face, right? It took me a while to understand the relationship between nutrition and skin, between gut health and skin. It took me a lot of time, right? Your face is a visual representation of what's happening inside your gut and inside your body. Your organ health is reflecting on your skin. That's one. Number two, if you have a leaky gut syndrome, the toxins will surface towards the skin, you know, especially that has leaked from the gut. And they're going to start, you know, manifesting in the form of rosacea, eczema, psoriasis, urticaria, which happened in my case as well. So one is addressing nutrition. Number two, understand that the skin is the largest, porous, breathing organ. So a lot of people are like, oh no, the skin doesn't absorb anything. I was like, so where does the sweat come from? It comes from in, right? Just like how your body is able to release toxins and sweat through the pores, it can very well absorb what you're applying on the skin. It's the largest breathing porous organ of our body, bigger than your lungs. So you have to be careful about the products you apply. You know, there are a lot of Ayurvedic herbs that's available. I follow the 80-20 rule. 80% of the time, my body wash is made in my kitchen, fresh, with basil and, you know, chickpea flour, some maybe, you know, coconut cream, some lemon, some turmeric. I make my own rose petal powder at home and orange peel powder at home. We put a little bit of that. Every day is a treat for the skin. 20% of the times when you're traveling, choose products where you can actually read the ingredients. If it has these complex chemical names, you're better off not using it, especially your sunblock. Loaded with chemicals that are all endocrine disruptors. they're only going to lead to more complex diseases like, you know, thyroid and PCOS, PCOD and rosacea and, you know, alopecia, vitiligo. These are all autoimmune disorders for which you have no cure.
Right.
You don't want to end up with that.
So what would Dr. Dimple's skincare routine be like?
Oh, God. So, you know, these are my favorite products. One is the Uptan that I make at home, which is chickpea flour, rose petal. We get roses dried at home and make a powder. Every time I have an orange juice or eat an orange, the peel is saved, dehydrated, we make a powder. Turmeric is an essential ingredient in everything. Lemon, rose water. The most underestimated, astringent, pore-closing toner that you have in the world is your rose water, not your complex skincare products. So I love using that. And there are one or two brands that I trust because they're not tested on animals. I know their ethics are higher than other companies. Don't buy cheap products.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
Yeah. Super. Let's get into a quick rapid fire. One food you would say avoid in the diet according to Ayurveda?
Completely. Deep fried foods.
Okay. One food you would add in the diet?
Moong dal khichdi.
In Dimple's house, this one thing is absolutely not allowed.
French fries?
Okay.
Potato chips, I would say rather.
One healthy practice that is a must have in every home?
Waking up early.
Okay. One piece of advice you would want to share with all parents?
Listen to your children.
One thing that is a no-go for gut health?
Raw salads, I would say.
Okay.
Smoothies, if I can add. Smoothies and juices.
Sattvic foods that should be included in your child's diet?
Include a lot of mung beans, white rice, red rice, great source of B12. Lot of vegetables like sweet potato, white potato, broccoli again, cabbage, cauliflower. Everything that's straight from the farm.
Right. Super, that brings us to the end of this conversation. Thank you so much. As always, it's incredible to chat with you.
It's always a pleasure to do talk with Kidstart Press because I know the priority here is education, kids' health, mom's health, rather than just selling products and services.
Right? Thank you. Thank you, Dimple. Thank you for always being there for us.
Thank you.
Hey guys, if you like this episode, don't forget to leave a comment below so we can learn how to improve ourselves. Like, subscribe, and definitely share this with your loved ones, your friends, family, and relatives so you can become an influencer of good health in their lives. Until my next episode, here's wishing you unconditional happiness, love, forgiveness, kindness, empathy, compassion in everything that you do. Here's Dr. Dimple Jangra signing off.